The reason I wanted us to see that is because as we close out this series on God's purpose, I want to focus today on God's purpose for our church. And I'll just be honest with you, really, really honest with you, is that if I can in some way help us be the church, if I can do my job as the pastor of this church, an equipper according to Ephesians 4 and 11, and instill in you what it really means to be the church, I will feel like that I have accomplished everything the Lord wants to accomplish. It's sometimes that we don't, it's not that we don't know that, it's that we need to be renewed in that and reminded of that, that church is not just something we come to. We often say, well, I'm going to church or come to church, as though we're coming to an event at a specific time, a specific place, and see a program, and then we go back to our normal lives, quote unquote, normalize the rest of the week. That the church obviously is more than bricks and budgets and buildings and businesses, but that the church is about our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing Him and making Him known, and that He is in us, and that we are one with Him, and He's called us to be one with each other. And so today I want us to focus on this final message about what God's purpose really is for His church. I've got a lot of slides. It'll be a challenge for you, Chris, because I don't even know if I'll get to them. I don't even know how many I'm going to use, and I may talk about some that's 10th down the line there, but he'll stay with me, I'm sure, and you'll be able to get it. When I think about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I can just share my heart with you this morning, it's about how much He loves you, how much He loves His people, and how much He wants us to love each other. It's a powerful dynamic. Now, in our culture, I'm told, and I believe this, the church has become more and more irrelevant. There are a lot of people who say that they are church members, but only about half of them, and I say a lot, about 44% of the population, which is sad, 44% of the population in America says that they are church members, but only about 20% actually go to church, attend church, and there's that phrase again, go to church. But they're not active in a body and in the fellowship of the Lord. And I think what also concerns me is that when we as Christians, we sometimes fail to see the importance of the local church, of the body of Christ, being a part, assembling together in what Christ has created us for and called us to do. And so my purpose today is more than just being involved, like you would be involved at the recreation department or in your civic club or involved in somewhere else. My goal for you today and my heart for you, and I believe it's the heart of God with all of my heart, is for us to be connected as the body of Christ, to be one in Him, and to know the importance of that and have the importance of the local church renewed in our lives so that we can fulfill His purpose. I am amazed when I study the early church, the church in the book of Acts. I'm just really amazed at how that they accomplished the purpose of God. You know, they didn't really have a permanent place to worship. They worshiped at the temple courts, which is a public arena for Judaism. And, of course, we know that Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism, and they worshiped there. They also worshiped in each other's homes. And it's amazing to me that they didn't have the facilities and the campus that so many of our churches use as tools today to be able to aid us and help us. It's amazing to me that they didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles, and they kind of had to walk wherever they went unless they, you know, rode an animal. But yet they were faithful together. Many times you read in Scripture in the book of Acts how they gathered daily to worship together and to be together and to minister together and to pray together. And I'm amazed by the dynamic that was involved in this church, the early church, as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them on that feast day of Pentecost. Of course, they didn't have internet, and of course, they didn't have a projector screen, and of course, they didn't have printed material, and they didn't have all of those things that we appreciate, all of the electronics that we enjoy that gives us special effects and sound and lighting. Nothing wrong with that. We can use that as a tool. But yet they had the presence of the Holy Spirit, who not only changed the atmosphere, but also changed hearts eternally. And while we have all of these tools, and God wants us to live in the 21st century, can somebody say amen? I'm not preaching against that, believe me. While we have all of these tools, while we have printed material, they didn't even have the New Testament scriptures. They were being written. While we have so much at our disposal, let us not depend on that, but let us see the church that we are not just an organization, but we are an organism. We are the body of Christ. And knowing that and being that is very vital to us as we fulfill the purpose that God has for us. To be connected with one another in such a way that the world sees us and says, there's something dynamic. There's something different. The love that those people have, the peace that those people have, is something very real that I need in my own life. And I think about the early church and how that thousands were literally saved as sometimes in one day's time. As a matter of fact, the church grew on the day of Pentecost from about 120 gatherers assembled together praying and worshiping to about 3,000. And I often wondered, what if everybody we've ever invited to church, everybody we've ever prayed for to be in church, what if they showed up at church on one given Sunday? We say, well, what would we do? Where would we put them? You know, how would we connect? Well, that's what the Lord wants us to know, is that there are dynamics in place in His name and in His life and in this church here at Rincon, that gets the job done, that fulfills the purpose. I just want to peer through the window like a Norman Rockwell photo, a picture, if you might, and look at the church here in Acts chapter 2 as you read the verses with me here on the screen. And this is what Rincon is becoming. Everybody say amen. We're not going to be this. We are being this, and we're going to continue to be this, and we're going to grow to be this. I'm just so really refreshed in my spirit about what God is doing in the Rincon Church of God family. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a fresh thing. And it's been a wonderful thing. But I want to make the most of every opportunity. And church, hear me well this morning. I don't want us to miss this golden opportunity that the Lord has given to us to really make an impact on your children, your grandchildren, your family members, this community. Can I hear a hearty amen for that? And it's just so very vital for us as the church to see ourselves together in that dynamic of the life of the Spirit of God within us. Here it is, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. One translation says they continued in that, and that's an important word. But it really means that they devoted themselves to that. They were sincere and earnest about that. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Now watch this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And as a matter of fact, there's a couple of scriptures and verses that says the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. And then you'll read on in that the Lord was multiplying. How many of you know that multiplication is bigger than adding? And God brought this church to a place that they begin to fulfill the purpose for which God has given to them and has given to us. And I just want to lift up just a few things for us, because I think if we're going to fulfill God's purpose, there's three vital questions that we really need to answer. And I want us to spend just a few minutes in these very simple yet profound questions that we need to answer in fulfilling the purpose that we have from the Lord as the church. And the first one is this: we need to know who we are. We need to know that we are not an institution, that we are not an organization, that we are the body of Christ created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared beforehand, that we should live them out and walk in them. You know, it's said that the church began as a missionary movement in Jerusalem and went to Greece and became a philosophy, and went to Rome and became a government, and went to Europe and became a culture, and went to America and became a corporation. And God help us in thinking about what we sometimes emerge as the church, that we forget that first and foremost, that we are called and created by God to be His people. And I want you to see that we are called and created by God to be His people. If you could throw that slide up on the screen, because I want us to go to that great passage of Scripture, Matthew 16 and 18. That we are created by God to be His people. He has called us out of this world. And I do apologize for this. I left out three important words to begin this. I just, it's my bad. But start the verse with, "On this rock." Everybody say that with me. "On this rock, I will build my church." Now, the rock, of course, is Christ, the chief cornerstone. He says, "I will build," say it with me, "my." It's not Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. It's not the work of some founder somewhere, other than the fact that Jesus is the architect. He is the one who created the church in His own heart and for His own purpose and for His own glory. And He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You know, sometimes we get into these discussions about the church and what it's going through and how it's being attacked from a lot of places within and without. But I want to tell you that Jesus has promised that "I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail." Gates are defensive in nature. They're there to defend and keep out. And He's not telling us that gates are going to attack us and we've got to defend the gates. He is saying the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You know, when I think about the church worldwide and I hear what God is doing around the world, and we do need a wonderful revival in America, it lets me know that Jesus said in giving us the end time signs in Matthew 24 that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all nations as a testimony of what God is doing in us through Christ to save us. And then the end will come. And we literally see this around the world. And of course, we want to wake up in America and be a part of the great end time work like never before that God is doing. But when we know who we are as the body of Christ, it's more than just coming to an event on Sunday morning or saying that I'm a member of the church as an institution, but it is part of who God is and what He's made us to be. There's a phrase that Paul uses just scores of times in his writings, and he says that we are in Christ. Say that with me, in Christ. One more time, in Christ. For example, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And there are many metaphors in the scriptures that help us to understand who we are in Christ. But if I can just help us today to put these metaphors into our personal lives and see the importance of who we are and who Christ has created us to be as His church, it will help us to have a greater passion for the purpose of the church. And the Bible says that we are His body and He is the head. You know, I hear sometimes writers say, well, if Paul was writing today, he might use different metaphors. And Peter was writing today, he might use different metaphors to describe who we are as the church. But I want to tell you, I don't think that you can get any more relative in what he says than in this very metaphor that we are the body of Christ. And we belong to the one who is eternally connected to us, that we are one in Christ. And when we see this local church around us and worshiping with us and serving together with us, we need to see ourselves as the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians 5, 23 and 25, just excerpts from the verse, these two verses. But Paul writes this often when he talks about the church, and he says that Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And it's so important for us to know the investment that God has in us and His church. You know, when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, got saved on the Damascus Road, he had that encounter. He was persecuting the church, of course, in ways that just were absolutely like Ivan the Terrible. Just one of the worst persecutors who has ever lived. And, of course, he said, I did it ignorantly. He thought he was doing God a favor. He was very zealous for Judaism, and he wanted to stamp out the name of Jesus. And he thought he didn't even understand that this was the fulfillment of Judaism, that Christ fulfilled the law and the prophets. He was so entrenched in his own traditions and legalism. And he had that encounter with the Lord. And this is what the Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my apostles? He says, why are you persecuting me? And it's a message for every one of us to understand how valuable we are to the Lord as His church. And I would just say this as a note of warning to all of us, those of us as Christians, no, we don't walk around in some kind of fear of God that He's going to kill us and destroy us, but we need to understand that when we injure the church, we really are injuring Jesus. And He says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we rejoice with those that rejoice, so that if one member of the body, using that metaphor, one member of the body suffers, we all suffer with it. And one member of the body rejoices, we all rejoice with it. And if we can get to that place that we can understand who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Scripture says we're the family of God, and God is our Father, and Christ is our elder brother, and we're brothers and sisters of one another, that we are citizens of the kingdom, that we are a nation within a nation, and a kingdom within a kingdom, and a people within a people, that we are the called out ones to be His own very special people, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own special people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, that we can see ourselves as the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that we are in partnership. That word fellowship is koinonia, and it means that we're in partnership. We have the life of the Holy Spirit. What I'm just saying to us today is we will have a greater value of the purpose for which God has called us to as His church when we really know who we are in Jesus Christ. And that's the second thing I want to bring up to you is, why do we exist as a church? What is the purpose? Why are we here? Aren't those the basic questions we ask in life? Who am I and why am I here? Well, why are we here? Well, the point is this, that we are here to do three things, and they're very simple. You know, when we think about our purpose, and we say that we're the body of Christ and He's the head, when we know that purpose, then we're just going to keep doing what Jesus did. And really, the church, our purpose is to continue what Jesus did. To say what He said. To say it like He said it. To do what He did. To do it like He did it, with compassion and love and care and forgiving sins that He would ultimately do on the cross and through the power of the resurrection, so that we can preach the forgiveness of sins to our generation and to our children and to our grandchildren and to our co-workers and those that are around us. And Luke begins this book of Acts, the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. And he says, in my former book, and he's referring to the Gospel of Luke, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began. Everybody say began. All that Jesus began to do and to teach. All that He began. And the book of Acts is a book of continuation, so that we get to that place in our lives that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we're just continuing what Jesus did. And the purpose of God and the mission of the church, purpose of God for the church and the mission of the church for me is very simple. I look at what Jesus did, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have to complicate it. We don't have to have a new agenda, a new program. And at Rincon Church of God, it is my prayer, with all that is within me, that we will come into a greater and greater place of this very thing. Three things. Our purpose is three things. Very simple. Why does the church exist? Well, we exist to worship God. Jesus said, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me, in John 6 and 38. John 17 and 4, He said, Father, in His prayer to the Father, I have glorified You on the earth by finishing the work that You gave me to do. Jesus lived for the glory of the Father. Though He was God in the flesh, He lived in that submissiveness that says, everything that I do, the greatest purpose that we have from God, as we've already heard throughout this series, is to give God glory, to give Him praise, to love Him passionately with all that is within us, and love our neighbor as ourselves, but to worship Him with all that we have. When I look at this early church and those verses that I read to you, and I begin to think about the different aspects of their life, their church life, their body life, if you will, I begin to see how that they worshiped God continually through the communion times, through the teaching of the Word, those times when they would pray together and they would rejoice together and they would praise together. Those are those opportunities that we can have in our church life, that we say to our world that we are, or we are living out this purpose that God has given to us, that you may know the God who loves you. Second of all, the church exists to build each other up, to minister to one another. You know, the church, as I read it here, was such a generous body. They didn't see themselves selfishly, just holding on to mine and mine alone, but it was ours. It was what God is going to do for us. And if I get blessed by God, you're going to get blessed by God. And it's a wonderful thing when we share not only our material resources, but we share in our love and prayers, in our encouragement. The church exists to make the body strong. How many of you, don't raise your hand, are into bodybuilding? Well, I guess you can if you want to. Well, we need to be into bodybuilding. And we need to build up the body of Christ. We need to build up each other. And that comes through encouragement. That comes through exhortation in our lives for one another. You know, somebody said the other day, don't preach at me. Well, I want to tell you to preach at them. But this is how you do it. You preach with the words of Jesus. You preach with the compassion of Jesus. You preach with the hope of Jesus. You preach that this life can be changed by the power of God. And so we exist and we live, third of all, as a church, to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 20, as the Father has sent me, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. To know our purpose is to know what Jesus came to do, that he came to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, to repent and believe the gospel, that there is life in Jesus' name, that he so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we would just believe in him. And that's the message that we have. It's a message of hope. It's a message that our world literally needs more than any other message. It's that simple gospel. You know, yesterday we got out, the church did, Church in Action, being the church, because it's not on this campus. It's being the church wherever you go. And we got out and we passed out 1,500 door hangers in several communities, in several neighborhoods, rather. And on your seat, if you would just pick up this card and look at it a minute. You know, all of us have different gifts and different callings, and it's difficult for us, some of us, to do cold turkey evangelism, we call it. Just going up to somebody that you don't know and start talking to them about Jesus, that's a little bit difficult. And sometimes we don't allow for one another to use our gifts and our callings. But I think this is something all of us could do. This Easter season, beginning next Sunday, we want to touch people for Christ. We want to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see their lives changed and hope come into them, whether it's your children or your coworker or your neighbor. And I think every one of us can take this little tool that we have, and we can invite a neighbor, we can invite a coworker, we can invite a family member that's unchurched or unsaved who needs Jesus. And I want to tell you, our goal is not to see how many we can have on Easter Sunday in attendance. You know, it's funny, preachers get together. Well, how many did you have on Easter? Well, the secret is how many did you have the week following? Because are we going to love them? Are we going to care for them? Are we going to tell them that they can have hope and life in Jesus' name? Are we going to tell them that we're going to be there with them for the long haul? And if you'll just use this little card to say, we've got some services and some events that you can connect with us. And we want you to be a part of this congregation and what God is doing in your life to love you and to care about you. Now, obviously, you don't have to say all those words. That's what we're really saying to them, though. We're saying, why don't you come and have a Jesus encounter? Why don't you come and encounter life and encounter praise and encounter hope? Why don't you come and encounter victory in your life? So we give you these cards this morning. They'll be there next week too. Use this as a tool. You know, every one of us has been called to make disciples. And how we do that is different. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. But if you and I will just use what God has given to us, we've all been called to be a witness. Can I hear another hearty amen? All of us. And again, that may not be you to get out and knock on doors or put a door hanger on somebody's door. That's all we did, was just put the door hanger on their door with this same message. The same message. We can do that tomorrow. And Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. We can get the job done and be a part of evangelizing people to Christ. Well, how do we do it? That's the third question that I want to answer. And we can't do this with our slick programs or whatever we would call it, but we need to do it, first of all, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on Him. And that time we had in the service today, with just allowing the Holy Spirit to refresh us and refill us, is so important in our lives. Because it's not with our might nor with our power, but it's with His Spirit. And you shall receive power, Acts 1 and 8 says. Jesus said this to us. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? And you shall be witnesses unto me in your world. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. And that includes your world and my world. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that I don't have to do this on my own. You know, Jesus looked at that ragtag group of disciples that had forsaken Him at the cross and had denied Him and really were probably more disappointed in themselves than anybody else was. But He looked at them and He says, you can get this job done because I'm going to come in and fill you with the Holy Spirit and with joy. And the world is going to see. And the second thing that I believe that He would have us to know is we're going to do what God has called us to do in fulfilling His purpose as we just love God and each other as Christ loved us. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so that the world may know that you are my disciples. When they see the love that you have one for another, the same love that I have for you, I want you to exhibit, Jesus said, to one another. You know, part of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we can love again. We can overlook people's faults and failures, and we can get over it, and we can grow over that, and we can love each other. And this world is going to know, and we're going to touch this world, and we're going to help people, and we're going to build them up as disciples when we really allow the Holy Spirit not just to empower us to give a witness for Jesus, but to really love each other. Romans 5 and 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that you have. I can't love like Jesus and Wayne Merritt, but I can allow the love of God to flow through me. And what I'm praying for and thanking God for at Rincon is that we're becoming that church, that loving congregation that's going to make a difference. And then the third thing is together. Did you notice how many times in that passage I read to you at the beginning in Acts 2, 42 through 47 that it says they were together? Unity. And when we have the unity of the Holy Spirit and the unity of Christ, and He said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything that they ask of the Father, He will do it. How many of you believe that this morning? Do you believe in the power of agreement? Do you believe if we flow together in the name of Jesus and whatever we do, that we do it in the name of Jesus, even if it's a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple to minister, it's in the name of Jesus, it'll have such a powerful effect. As a matter of fact, every act of kindness ought to be more than just an act of benevolence. It ought to be done in the name of Jesus. When Peter raised that lame man up in Acts chapter 3, and by the power of God, he said, what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And later, he was questioned by the Sanhedrin for preaching the name of Jesus. And he said, if we're brought into question by this act of kindness that we have done, I believe in acts of kindness. I think they're a wonderful way to let people know tangibly that we love them. But if we don't do it in the name of Jesus, it is not going to change their life eternally. You know, every religion has acts of kindness, but you and I have the name of Jesus that we can say, rise up and walk. And when we begin to give together and minister together and love together and flow together, we are an unstoppable force. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. against us. William Temple, former Archbishop of Canterbury, once said, he said that the church is the only society in the world that lives for the benefits of its non-members. Think about that. It's not just about being ingrown and building up ourselves, but it's about reaching those that need to hear the name of Christ and be changed in their lives. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning in the service and just bow with me for prayer. You know, whatever's going on in our small groups on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and in music ministries, in men's ministries, in women's ministries, as we begin to interact and connect and flow, God is doing a dynamic thing. He's strengthening you to be the person that He's created you to be, for us to be the church that He can use powerfully in this community. But He is also using us as a light to win the lost, to make a difference. And He has sent us out into our world. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And I want to pray for us this morning. I want to encourage you to get to know your brothers and sisters around you. You say, well, I'm a little shy. I understand, but the Holy Spirit would have you to connect with people in a small group or with a ministry opportunity. And let's begin to flow in the life and be the church that He's called us to be. I thank God for the worship assembly we have here, and obviously we're still a small enough congregation that we can connect with each other in here, but it's so encouraging and life-giving when we begin to flow one with the other and minister one with the other and do that together. Some of you are called to be prayer warriors. Your ministry is kind of behind the scenes, but our church needs to be prayer warriors together. And one of the things that the Lord has just really burned in my heart, that we would pray more together. We must, it's a core of the church. We must find time to pray together and win victories together as the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank You for our church today. I thank You for the power of God that's evident in our midst. I pray that the winds of refreshing and the rivers of life giving fullness would cleanse and fill and refresh us so that the world may know the God that we proclaim. The God that we say that we know that has changed us in our simple lives, in our complexities, that they would see Your peace, that they would see Your joy, that they would see Your strength, that we would love each other as You have loved us, Christ, that we would have a baptism of love, sharing, caring, being together, doing Your work in Your name for Your glory. And we shall thank You for it and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Sing this with Les and Tressa. Just close your eyes and open your hearts and let's worship Him together.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been You, Jesus. Jesus.
Would you open your hearts to Him? Just lift your hands and sing that. Thank You, Father.
Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been You, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters.
Let's sing it to Him. Oh, let's mean it in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your love and power and life change.
Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you, nothing else, and nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the
Sing, Jesus, be the center of my church. Just one more.
Nothing else matters.
Let's tell Him. Let's mean it in our hearts. God, you're our all in all. We thank you, Christ, that you're the center of it all. We thank you. Receive today.
Everything revolves around you.
Heavenly Father God, as we leave this parking lot, we're leaving to be your church. As we greet one another on our way out, Lord, in encouraging and affirming, we're being your church. Help us, Father, to be the church in this world that needs us to be who you said we were, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. May we see the difference that you're going to make in and through our lives together. And we'll praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. To all of our guests, we have a welcome home reception. If you are a first-time guest, please join us in the reception room. We won't take but probably about 5 to 10 minutes of your time. God bless you. We'd love to get to meet you, our staff. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you. Yes, we have some more door hangers. If you'd like to put them out in your neighborhood, Kevin has those in the back foyer as you leave. Help us out.